Hello there, I'm Tim and he's John and this is How to Murder Time, a podcast about games and things.
Hello everybody.
Watcher.
It's another one.
I'll go on with the normal intro because this is like a what we're playing type show.
Yes.
I know where I am with these.
Yeah.
The video thing doesn't really concern me. Good. I just turn up and talk.
What's more, 2 in 2 weeks. This is going to completely flummox everybody.
Well, I have been neglecting the static group talks and news of how we're doing in there. So this is going to be an 100% static group what we're playing type.
Also, they released a hell of a lot of games last week and I played some of them.
You've been on a spree, yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, well, you can start then.
I'm going to start with Bloodborne.
Bloodborne. Okay, I have almost no idea what this is at all. This is like a Demon's Souls, Dark Souls
type thing. Yes, this is the latest in the line of games by that designer and studio.
Okay.
And it is a gothic-y death simulation.
I remember we did a thing on difficulty and a topic show on game difficulty, and you made me play one of the previous ones, Dark Souls or something. Steam edition PC thing. It was quite hard and I generally sort of bounced off it really, but
it's not hard. That's the thing. I've come to the conclusion.
This one isn't. Or...
No, none of them are hard.
Okay.
And that's the thing that's really weird about it. Everyone says they're hard, they're not. It's very, very specific about what you have to do.
Is it a sort of mimetic in-joke thing? Everyone on the internet going, oh, it's so difficult. It's Chuck Norris difficult.
It's impossible if you're an idiot. Okay. But if you play the game like you're meant to play it, it's not hard. It's just tough.
Okay.
I think hard is probably the worst word you can use to describe it because it'll put people off when it is just a technical challenge to play it in the right way.
Okay.
So what you do, you're this bloke.
Yep. With you so far?
There's a bit of backstory, which...
because of some
plot.
Completely
glossed over.
a terrible reviewer.
Yeah, and you wander around and you hit things, in my case, with a big axe.
Okay.
I've only played the first bit. Yeah. I haven't got that far into it because of issues I'll come up to in a bit.
Oh.
But you end up going through this city during something called The Hunt, which where you get mocked by locals saying that it must be bad being out on the day of the hunt. It's true, because there's lots and lots of people around and they all want to kill you, and they all can kill you quite quickly.
It's a big old bounty hunter showdown type thing.
There's absolutely no yard trash enemies.
Okay.
Everyone is a challenge and you have to respect every single enemy.
Right. That's
which is okay.
It's an unusual format. You don't see that done a lot.
It's okay when there's just one of them.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, you can deal with that, or two of them. But it's when there's a large group, you have to start thinking, how am I going to take out this group? So I'm going to distract the people at the edge, get them over here, then kill them.
Mm.
And because you can't just wade in and kill them all. like in a button match,
plan A.
Because you will die. Yeah. And that's the thing. Luckily, all the enemies are stupid.
Mm.
So you can pick somebody off and the people nearby won't get all distracted and follow.
And they have quite predictable mannerisms and behaviours and stuff. Okay.
And that's basically it.
So it doesn't sound difficult in so much as it punishes complacency.
Yeah, it definitely punishes complacency. The moment you overstep your bounds,
you will start taking it all for granted.
And when you die, that's when it all starts to get a bit icky.
Okay.
Because the loading times are about 3 days.
Oh, wow. Okay.
People say, oh, it's fine. multiple people have said, well, but I used to play Spectrum games. It used to take 10 minutes and sometimes it
wouldn't load. That was 30 years ago.
There's no excuse. For a game that looks like this looks, there's no excuse for it taking 30, 40 seconds to load.
No excuse for Spectrum loading times in the modern day and age. Four or five different data storage mediums since C90 cassettes were a thing.
And so you die, and it's really, really annoying, and then you restart the level, and you have to kill all the bad guys again.
Oh, right.
So you could quite a
scarcity of checkpoints, is it?
Well,
can you save or load or save?
Not that I've seen.
It's back to the start each time.
Because that's the other problem of the game. It is obtuse when it comes to telling you anything.
Well, that can often be mistaken for difficulty,
The way you find out anything about the game at all is there are these things on the ground which you click on and it will say a line of text telling you something, and that's the entire tutorial, just a bunch of these. You can get them out of order, you can miss them.
I remember Dark Souls being quite similar,
just really, really annoying. I had to Google how to equip my gun.
Wow. And you've played a few computer games in your time, yeah.
You have to put it in slot 3.
Okay.
Any other slot, it won't allow you to select it.
Right. Yeah. So basic trial and error, process of elimination, and eventually you're ready to shoot things.
Yeah, because I got to the bit which, mockingly, one of the help it says, you probably want to use a gun here. Okay, fine. I was given a gun earlier. How do I use the damn gun? Nothing helps. And I can show you the manual.
Bludgeoning the monsters to death with the handle.
There's the manual.
There's the manual. All right, he's handed me it's not A5 even, is it? A6. It's a single sheet of double-sided pay.
The other side
is an advert to join PlayStation Plus.
Yeah, it's just a list of all of the controls
Learn to play, noob.
Wow. Yeah, I think that's a serious problem of the game because it's going to put off an awful lot of people.
If that DVD, that Blu-ray case had come with a massive sort of 50-60 page booklet,
would you have read it? If the game had a tutorial, even.
That's more the point. We expect this kind of stuff to be a part of the integrated experience these days. You didn't have to go looking for external resources unless it's a really difficult puzzle or a complex boss dance towards the end of a game.
And you got everyone saying, oh, it should be difficult to pick up because it's hard. No, it shouldn't. That's just being obtuse.
We covered this a long time ago on a topic show about difficulty, and there are two sorts of difficulty. One is appropriate difficulty. This puzzle is very very awkward, or this jumpy puzzle timing exercise requires a lot of practice. That's fine. That's acceptable difficulty. The camera keeps wedging itself in the ceiling, and I can't see where my character's walking. That's not difficult. That's just bad design.
Yeah.
And there's this one slip of paper with some vague notes on how to press buttons on the controller wedged in the box. That's also that kind of difficulty.
Yeah.
And that's the bad kind of difficulty.
The various scraps of knowledge scattered around the floor that you may or may not notice.
You can make it usable and difficult. I mean, making a thing not usable at all doesn't count as difficulty. That's just balls.
Yeah,
frankly.
But the rest of the game is brilliant.
Yes. Wild swing of opinion.
When you know this,
what are the plus points then? What are we like? You were showing me a little bit earlier.
The atmosphere is stunningly good.
Lavishly detailed world design there, levels and such.
The combat is actually reasonably great as well. I won't say it's amazing, but it's reasonably great because it still has some issues with selecting enemies properly and things like that. Mm. When you lock on an enemy, it's fine, but if you want to lock onto a slightly different enemy, it can be trickier.
Okay, so you're starting to get into the controller problems again.
Also, it's a Japanese game, so there's controller funnies when you start walking because it controls like a Japanese game.
Okay.
Obvious one, you can always tell a Japanese game, because if you walk towards a wall, in a Japanese game you'll keep doing the walk animation, in a Western game you won't.
Oh, okay. I wonder why that is.
I don't know.
Hmm. Interesting.
So it's great and it's fun. I'm really enjoying it, but the load times are a complete pain.
Yeah, you showed me one. He's not kidding. It was about a minute and a half, something like that.
I think it's
just under a minute. It was unacceptably noticeable.
Yeah,
anyway.
And it stops me playing it. I will die and then think, oh, I've got to sit through a long wait and then redo the entire level, and I can't be arsed. I'll go and play something else.
It's all very well to bang on about that. Oh, in my day, uphill both ways in the snow, and start referencing Spectrum tapes and so on, but. It's really no excuse for that kind of thing this day and age.
No.
The only excuse I can imagine is the hardware limitations.
Yeah, it is. No, it's pushing the PS4 quite
badly. It's
the consoles,
isn't it? The consoles don't have enough oomph to fit PC-sized worlds in them.
It's not in 1080p either. Yeah. It's only 30 frames a second, and it drops from there quite badly sometimes.
So they've been a bit overambitious with the world design.
It takes way too long to load.
Yeah.
The graphics aren't actually amazing.
They look quite good, but...
It looks okay, but they're not stunning.
I don't know what a really good game looks like.
Also, it makes my PlayStation 4... You know how the original Xbox sounds?
Mm, yeah, sort of like a hovercraft trying to take off to the moon.
Yeah, it makes my PS4 drown that out.
Wow.
It really turns on all the fans.
Oh, God. It's pushing the PS4, which, remember, the PS4, the cutting-edge latest design of console, it's pushing that to the edge of its limitations with heat and so on.
Put it this way, I'd love a PC version.
Well, yeah, I was about to say, this is a PS4 exclusive, isn't it, this thing? How does that mean anything at all?
It means that it'll only ever appear on PS4 and then PS5 and PS6 and PS7 and PS8.
Does it benefit from that, do you think?
No.
This isn't going to shift PS4.
No, it'll shift them, but unfortunately it's a sort of game that a lot of people who are going to buy it on the hype won't like, because you have to really like that. I want to get into this mechanically.
Do you think we'll see a Steam edition or something?
No, never.
Down the line?
No, because it's Sony.
Proper exclusive.
Yeah, because unlike Microsoft, who actually have a vested interest in actually doing PC versions, Sony don't.
Okay.
Sony sold their PC division as well.
Hmm.
Oh. As if that would have had any bearing on it anyway.
Fair enough.
So yeah, it's really good.
But
I like it.
But
it's not a game I can recommend to anybody because You may not like it.
You like it and you don't know why.
No, I know why, but you may not like it. If you find that whole a single mistake will get you killed thing annoying, do not touch this game with a barge pole.
Sounds quite challenging, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And that's not to everyone's
taste. So yeah, it's one of those weird... Well, I'm actually getting to the point where I don't think I can ever recommend a game to anyone. Because everyone's...
You've just totally lost everyone's... faith in your own...
Well, no, I know what I like, but everyone else likes weird things.
Oh, everyone else is different and weird and wrong. Yeah.
Everyone else has weird taste in games that I don't necessarily agree with.
Good, so... Having completely undermined any utility of us being a kind of consumer show, let's move on. I'm going to talk about Rift. So Rift is what we're doing on the Friday nights. You may have seen a little episode let earlier on where we did the Deep Strike Mines on the video there. We've got the same little gang of people working through the levels. I've written nearing 50. There we are. We're getting there. I think there's sort of some mid-30s at the low end, and some of us have struck off into the post-50 content as well. But that's the good thing about the game. It has two different systems in place to allow you to muck about with your own level so that it still allows you to play with friends. This would have been absolute death for our static group in any other game. You know, having some of the team at level 35 and some of them at 52.
Yeah.
That would have been it. Those people would never play again together until we eventually decide we'd finished with the game and moved on, started brand new characters somewhere else. And then, you know, for a brief couple of weeks, while, you know, our amount of interest coincides, we're all able to play together as a team. And then eventually, yes, some people go off ahead, some people stay further back. I'm not blaming anyone. It's not a blameworthy thing. Some people just don't want to play it every night of the week. Some people do, and that's entirely fair both ways. They are both correct. But what that does for the group is a problem. And it's something I bang on about over and over again in the last God knows however long we've been doing this stuff, and when I was blogging before that, it's always been a problem. These MMOs, which are ostensibly designed for groups of friends to play together, doing their damnedest to keep friends apart because they believe that the integrity of their own progression is more important than our own social bonds. Anyway, you know.
Yeah.
So yeah, I'm bitching unfairly because Rift actually does a lot to ameliorate that. You've got for starters, there's the ascended mentor level thing. You can set your own level to any level between 10 and 5 levels below what your normal level is. So that helps the people up ahead come back down to redo content that the other people are seeing for the first time. Then they added a side kicking thing, which allows characters to bump their own level up to match the group leaders. I think it's keyed to the zone you're in. So the ambient level of the zone, so you can't use it to just, you know, instantly go to 60, but you can basically play together still, and it means we redo a lot of content, but that's not such a bad thing. I mean, it's a shame for however long it takes to make these games, and then, you know, we blast through it in a fraction of that time as players and never see the things twice. I've written roll roulette there. That's another good thing. You've got this soul system there. So you pick one of four classes, archetypes, whatever, at the start: mage, rogue, warrior, and the other one, cleric-y, priest-y type. And you very quickly learn that doesn't matter at all. It doesn't make any difference at all, because your rolls, which are the combination of souls that you pick to create an actual functional class, what determines what hotkeys you get, what abilities, and all that sort of thing, you can buy extra slots for that and buy lots of different roles so that every class can do everything in a group. So, a mage can tank, and I often do. We've had clerics tanking. We've had warriors healing. You know, it just doesn't matter, and that's great as well, because yet again, you know, it's we don't care who your friends are. If all of them want to be warriors, then you are screwed. You're not going to get anything useful done because you must pick complementary classes based on this chart here.
Yeah,
and that doesn't happen in Rift. So once you've opened up enough of these soul slots, you do have to spend a bit of cash buying soul packs to make that fully available. But that's essentially as functionally equivalent to the one-off payments to buy expansion content anyway. So that seems fair. And yeah, once you've got that all set up, anyone can do anything, and I make everyone do everything because I think we should be versatile and Swiss Army knives of gamers. So we've had a lot of people stepping out of their comfort zones in our little group over the last couple of Fridays.
Sounds horrific.
It's great. I pick random people and say, you should be a tank, and then, you know, having never tanked before, they have to lead the merry band through the dungeon, keep the aggro and stuff. I think Days was doing his first ever tanking run this last week, or the week before. And, you know, it's if you're going to learn to do these roles, how do you do it? You don't get to learn these roles because they're not necessary when you're solo. So you, solo, all you ever need is DPS. If you try healing or tanking as solo, it just means you have taken much longer to get the job done. All solo content tends to be balanced around DPS classes doing all right. So anyone else can do better, but take much, much longer usually. So your two alternatives, you can join a little group of friends who are patient and understanding and can help out with advice and tips on how to work these classes and stuff and gradually pick up the trade, as it were. Or you can drop yourself into the LFG queue and then just get shouted at by random strangers on the internet for what, pixel stuff, you know? It's quite so out of those two ways, I know which I'd prefer to take if I was going to learn a new way to play these games. And so we try and provide as many opportunities as we can for people to give this stuff a go. The folks in the group tend to gravitate towards roles they like the best, and there's nothing wrong with that. I try not to force people to do something different every run, but it's nice to just, well, certainly a DPS class, having been a tank, you suddenly understand what the tanking's all about and how to be a good DPS around the tank and around the healer and stuff. It's all good, and it really does change the game style as well. Tanking, you suddenly find it's a very spatially awareness-based gameplay that you weren't seeing before. It's very, your own abilities and your own health bar tend to become sort of secondary. You're mostly worried about where things are coming from, which things are patrolling in, pulling stuff in to make sure they're all kept fighting you. As a healer, perhaps less of a satisfying game, I have to admit. It's not the choicest role, you'll remember from your metro days.
Yeah, I hate healing.
Well, when you're a healer in a group dungeon, you are basically focused on the little health bars in the top corner and not a lot else, really, and... So it's a thankless task sometimes, so we try and share it around and try and make sure that everyone who gives it a go is appreciated. Then, of course, DPS is just DPS. It's all about the rotations, the hotbar, the timers, and so on. And trying to lay as much smack down as you can on a monster without it actually noticing you're doing so, because then it comes running after you and pounds you into the ground. And that's an interesting sort of gameplay style, which is different again. So it's good that everyone's getting a chance to try everything, because you just don't want to be tanking for your first time ever in a level 50 pickup group.
Yeah, you do. I can't think of a better place to learn. You're going to get constructive feedback. From the group,
yes,
constantly.
yes, thoughtful criticism. Now you'll get absolute silence and then massive WTF when inevitably it goes wrong because no one's talking to anyone at all. It's all bad, but not so in our group. This is why we do the static groups, is to try and experience some of this group content in a friendly environment, really. Otherwise the alternatives are just quite grim, generally, I've found. I've written easier than I remember there. I've played through here and there in the past, and I don't know if they've toned down the basic normal mode for each of the dungeons, but there is, at level 50, unlocks an expert mode of version of each of these dungeons, so quite looking forward to trying that, because we've not really been seriously challenged in these dungeons as we've gone through. They have been pretty face-rolly experiences, even with a lot of our people not really knowing their roles because they're trying them for the first time and stuff. We've not really had much in the way of entire team wipes on difficult dance bosses or anything, and we're approaching 50 and doing the dungeons at that top end. So there's a lot more content beyond 50, though. Like I say, once you get to 50, that unlocks the expert mode dungeons. Then there's a whole load of Storm Legion stuff, which is one of the expansions, and then the Nightmare Tide water, plane of water as well, beyond there from 60 to 65, and all sorts of extra stuff to do there. I've written zone events. We do a lot of that as well to break up the dungeon runs. That's basically when an entire zone just starts getting invaded with a massive concerted effort of rifts and invaders. And usually there'll be some giant boss at the end that does need proper tanking and crowd control and management and all the rest of it. Otherwise, it tends to just one-hit people. I've tried to join some of those zone invasions on my own when there's just like a whole load of random players all just chipping away at it. And they all turn up at the big boss at the end, and they're all DPS. And it basically just goes stomp, 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 one working its way through. And generally, it'll succeed if you've got enough people rezzing and coming back from the shrine fast enough to keep that rotation perpetually going. Eventually, you can just burn it down like that. But it's not terribly satisfying. No. If you're doing it right, no one should die to one of those. You should have people, healers supporting tanks and doing it all properly like it was a proper group thing. But those pay out all sorts of little currencies and stuff, and we're collecting a lot of that and sort of keep reminding our people to go and check the special vendor with the currency rewards, because that's a good way of gearing up. Because to be honest, most of the time we just do the dungeon stuff. We're not really hub-to-hub questing much, certainly not as a group on a Friday, because that's generally solo content, and it would be a bit of a waste of an evening if we're all just taking turns to wait for the one mob to respawn so we can each wallop it and get the tick for the quest log. That's solo stuff, and that's fine. It's good for a good sort of therapeutic 2 hours of a Sunday afternoon. You just hub-to-hub questing, don't really have to think about much. But if there's a whole group of us there, we want to take advantage of that. I've written special lures there. Once you get to 50, you start getting given weekly special items you can use in rifts to cause them to go mad and call in massive group sort of, you know, little bit of story group content with extra rewards and stuff. So we've been trying to do some of that as well. The Bloodfire Behemoth zone event will drop a special thing called an Infernal Conduit, which will let you go into the big Bloodfire Bastion thing, which is the big sort of tower with the flame outside your capital city. And in there's a whole bunch of special bosses you can have a go at fighting. We've been working on some of those. When they drop some things, special currency again, if you get 100 of those, you get a flaming mount.
Is that impractical?
They drop one at a time per boss, and you only get the thing that lets you pull one of these monsters out of the fire plane by participating in this special zone event, which I've seen come up perhaps once or twice this last week. It's quite a long-term goal, which I imagine will have massively out-leveled by the time we get anywhere near completing it, or have gotten bored of the game. This is the problem. They set these super-duper token trinket reward tasks way too high. Some of our chaps were looking at the budgie event. It just turned up, was there for a few days and then went away. If you do some budgie racing from around the starter zones, yes, giant man-sized budgerigars with saddles, yes, don't look at me like that. This is real, this happens.
Yeah, I think they've been playing Final Fantasy.
I just wouldn't want one. It's a ridiculous looking mount, but people put a lot of grind in for that. It's strangely reminiscent of some grinding I've done in the past for spaceships. Every time you do this race around the zone thing, you get 10 bird seed, another special currency. And if you have 850 bird seeds, you do the math, you can have a special budgerigar mount and be pointed at and laughed at. So I don't know. Hell, they couldn't pay me to ride around on a man-sized budgerigar. That would just be ridiculous.
I'm not entirely sure their legs would take those.
A wizard did it in almost every case. So they do the events and stuff, but they always price the stuff way too high. It's like the Star Trek thing. They think they're doing us a massive favour by only requiring 25 days of solid grind instead of 40 nowadays, you know? Why can't we just have 7? Is that not too much? I mean, the Crystalline Catastrophe thing I finished recently, that was 14 days in a trot, and it was only a very minor reward at the end. It's just... you know, I'm perhaps... Is anyone that dedicated anymore? Or is that just appealing to people with pathologies, you know, with particular addictive-type
problems? Some
people
only play one game, so it's fine for them.
I can't imagine playing only one MMO, but I suppose if you are only ever playing one game for like a month at a time, then it's not any real challenge or hardship at all to do one task every day you do play it.
I know it's hard to believe, but sometimes people play a single game for more than an hour. I can't quite get my head around it.
Yeah, I think we're both at one end of a particular... spectrum there, but you're much further along than I am. I've written decorating there as well. Also, we've got our guild dimension, which is their player housing thing, and you've
got a whole dimension.
A dimension, yeah. It's basically just a chunk of the main normal map, but instanced off, and you can put furniture in it. And we got one, the Stone Flask Tavern, which is a bit of Stonefield's little village there in the middle of one of the Defiant Zones, and it is absolutely filled with trees from every possible biome you can imagine, none of which fit the surroundings of the tavern. There's been some fantastic construction inside. Some of the chaps on our Minecraft server are also in this Rift sojourn, Wish in particular, and he's done some amazing work with the interior of the otherwise largely empty barn of a building they give you to begin with. It's amazing. I have to try and get some video of that for a future show. But it's all the weirdnesses, because the minions give you furniture rewards, and you can find furniture rewards everywhere else, but there's just it's just really random. So you end up with a whole bunch of like snowy walls that just go in the middle of this non-snowy area. It just looks weird. And all sorts of crazy stuff. Basically, any placeable object. It's a bit like what they've done with EverQuest 2. They decided, well, we've put all this time and effort into making art assets for the world design. Let's give that to the players as well. So pretty much all the furniture you see around the game can eventually be found in some form and placed in your little
home
place.
That's quite good, then.
Yeah. It's a fun little side diversion, and it's nice to have a little guild place to hang out and dump all our unwanted furniture loot in. Well, I've set up a dumping yard in one corner of the guild dimension. You'll have to see it when I do a video of it. But... And it's just full of cubes and spheres and planks and weird triangles and half ships and trees of 100 different varieties and stuff. And I'm trying to encourage everyone to take the stuff because it's essentially cluttering most of our inventories up, and most of us aren't really into the house building type start side of it all. But it's all going well, and I'm looking forward to us hitting 50 because for some reason, yeah, most of the game is very accommodating to disparate levels and so on, but for some reason there is no way for a character who is not actually 50 or higher to go to Ember Isle or the Storm Legion continents. Yeah. We tried all sorts of guild banner summoning trickery and sidekicking and stuff, and nothing. You have to actually get to 50 to be able to see the level 50 to 60 content, and presumably there's a similar restriction in place for the Nightmare Tide level 60 stuff.
Most likely, yeah.
Yeah, and that's a bit of a problem, because there's a whole new set of dungeons and explorey things and group tasks and zone invasions and things that we'd quite like to go and take part in, but I really don't want it to be, you know, everyone glaring at the person who's got the lowest level and you know, passively aggressively trying to get them to hurry up. I don't even know who that is. It's not that I'm not naming names, I can't remember, but
it's probably you.
It might be me. I have to I shouldn't have to be giving out homework. That's just ridiculous. I don't want people to, you know, have to go away and do four levels before next week, you know. That just turns it into a massive chore, and it's the fastest way of driving people away from the game I can think of. So it's, yeah, but there's enough moderately varied content going on in the original Rift launch content, the sub, you know, level 50 and under stuff, to keep us going for a while. But I'm looking forward to opening up some new lands and taking the gang out there, so that should be good. Seems like people are still interested, and I'm absolutely certain it's the mature approach to levels and classes that the game displays that's kept it going this long. To be honest, we'd have burnt out and spread apart a long time ago otherwise, and it has actually happened in other MMOs. You know, we got to the point where people just, you know, it's all very well. People, you know, the whole group's level 40 and doing stuff, and there's a couple of people level 15 or whatever. They log on and chat and, you know, hang out with us, but we're not actually playing a game together in any meaningful sense. No. So they might as well just be logged on to chat and playing some other game entirely, which is fine too. You know, it's a relatively social experience, whatever. But it's nice if we can actually play these games in the way they're intended. But the way they're intended needs to adapt to accommodate what we want as well, I think. And we're seeing that more and more these days, and it's good.
Excellent.
You want to talk about a thing?
I'm going to talk about the Fast and the Furious and the Forza.
Okay, what's going on there?
Well, as part of an interesting marketing co-deal, what I think's happened is Universal have paid an awful lot of money to Microsoft to say, could you do a tie-in game for Fast and Furious 7, which is out.
Seven? Soon, really?
This week.
I think I saw one of them when they were in like Miami or something, and there was like an undercover cop. And whatever. There was a lot of driving fast.
Yeah. Well, what you got to remember is they're the best films ever made.
Are they now?
If you go from that position, then everything's fine.
They're no Citizen Kane, though.
No, Citizen Kane has no car chases.
I know, yeah. So draw of that what you will.
Citizen Kane's no Fast and Furious.
Well, there's a phrase I never thought I'd ever hear.
I honestly really do love this film series. Okay. It is dumb. It is stupid. It is insanely dumb and
you
stupid.
You quite like Cars.
I quite like The Rock. I quite like Vin Diesel. Mm-hmm. And it has everything together in a completely dumb popcorn flick that is completely enjoyable, and you don't have to even begin to think about. Because if you do, you start thinking about the physics of pulling an entire room-sized safe behind two cars down the street and exactly how badly that would go and how powerful those cars would have to be.
You'd be all right till you came across the first corner, I think, and then things would get interesting.
No, I don't think you'd even get started.
Oh, just like, snap here, tear the chassis out.
Anyway, that has nothing to do with the game.
No.
The game is a tie-in game, and what they've done is they've taken Forza Horizon 2, taken a chunk of it, as you would in, say, a demo, and they've gone and themed it as Fast and Furious. And they put a set of missions in. We have to collect 10 cars, which are the 10 cars they use in the new film. So you have to go around and collect the cars for them to use.
This sounds really quite lazy and cheap.
It's incredibly lazy and it's incredibly cheap, and I think it's the best tie-in game ever made.
I suppose if it's based on a game you really enjoy anyway, it's just more a level pack, isn't it?
Yeah, what it is a bunch of 15, 20 individual races to do in Forza Horizon 2, and that is a really good game.
Is it standalone?
Yes.
Okay, you don't need
and
Forza
it's free
Horizon
at the
2.
Moment, but it's it free. Goes to be $10 in a couple of weeks.
You'd expect it to be free, considering it's a piece of advertising for a film. Yeah.
And it's also a demo for the game, if you really think about it that way.
A demo for Forza Horizon 2? Yeah.
But no, what the amount of integration is, it's got a logo.
Yeah.
You're stuck on one radio channel. I don't know if it's actually music that's in the film or not, or if it's music from the rest of the game, because I just tune out most of the music in that game because it's all weird stuff I don't like. And there is a young gentleman who I believe is called Ludacris narrating it.
Ludacris?
It's something like that.
Right.
Okay. So it's not the guy from Grange Hill anymore.
Right. Okay.
It's now some actor guy who I believe is probably a rapper because he's got a stupid name.
Cool. Stupid names are cool.
Yeah, it's true, but this is...
Is there like a big rollicking story, cutscene-driven B-plot from the film?
He talks to you on the phone and just tells you, go here, get this car. Because it's Fast and Furious, you're racing for
pinks. You want to feel like you're part of the team in the film.
You are. You're setting it all up already.
You're part of the team in the same way that we were part of the team in Lord of the Rings Online.
Yeah, and twice he references, without mentioning Vin Diesel's character by name, he references that he's going to be quite happy. And he drives Vin Diesel's car with the big engine in the front.
It sounds unsatisfying. If you're a fan of a big racing thing, you're going to be annoyed because it's a cut down version of Forza 2, which you probably already got anyway. And if you're a fan of the film, you're going to be annoyed because you're not really seeing film stuff.
What you've got to remember is, one, it is the best film time game ever because it actually plays fun.
It sounds like a very good film time game, but...
And also you've got to remember that it's more of the game and I quite like the game, so it's
fair
fine.
Enough.
So I have no problems with it.
If you like Forza Horizon, then go for it.
It's very, very short. I'll give it that. You get all of the 1,000 points of the achievements by just playing it normally through the plot, and that happens in about 3 hours, which is a little short. But then you've got to 100% the rest of it, which is get all the boards, drive down every road, and do the bucket list challenges, most of which are get a ludicrously low amount of skill points.
Mm.
Nothing in this game is hard, by the way.
Right, okay. It's a very sort of light, frothy, have a dip into the game rather than the big campaign mode of the Forza.
It's aimed at people who like the film and think, oh, I'd like to play a game of that film and maybe aren't into driving games. But it's still the best time film game ever made.
I suppose it has the benefit of having a really solid engine behind it because it is essentially just more of more
and
levels.
Once you've 100%ed all that, the important thing is you get 500 points for your Forza.
Yeah. I thought there'd be some achievements.
Reward
farming,
points.
Some achievement
it's not the achievements. This is the Forza reward points,
okay,
which give you loads and loads of cash in game for all of the Forza games,
right?
And will for the next Forza game as well. And so it's 500 free points of to be down on top. And they've actually gone and added the 7th or the 8th tier, I believe, to that. So I need to do some leveling up now.
Okay.
And,
right. So if you're into Forza Horizon, grab this as well because it's more the same and
you
get extra points.
Grab it while it's free. It won't last you that long, but it's certainly the best time game ever made.
Fair enough. I'm going to talk about DDO briefly. So this is the Sunday evening static group thing that Asghar set up a couple of months ago. We've been there before. We've had a couple of runs, I think. We've probably had 2 or 3 static group goes in the past at DDO. Asghar quite likes the game, decided to try and set up another one. I went along with that, and we had a few other people wish there as well. I think we had Lessa for a few weeks, and she's just recently bowed out for time commitments. But the thing is that what we got here basically is like a DDO supergroup and me, who's quickly fallen into the role of sort of war correspondent, desperately chasing along behind, watching these disappearing figures down the tunnels as they carry out obscene acts of heroic power and general competence on these dungeons, I suppose. Well, definitely they know very well, and I'm vaguely familiar with most of them, having done a lot of them before as well. So it's very much a sort of expert run through rather than a new run through where we're all discovering new and interesting things. This is more of a let's see how fast we can get this done, and let's see. And so to do this, we've been picking when you go into an entrance, it's all instance DDO, and when you pick one of these instances to go in and have an adventure in, there's a little window pops up. You can pick the difficulty mode, set a few other parameters. We've been doing it on full difficulty all the way through. there's like easy slash solo, because it is a sort of group based game, but part of the solo viability rework they did a while back was to sort of just basically tone it down a bit so that people can have a go at them on their own if need be. Then there's normal, there's hard, there's elite, which is what we do, and then some of them have epic as well, but you're only allowed to go in those if your characters are level 20 or higher. Now bear in mind, in this game level 20 is functionally equivalent to level like 100 in other games, because you have 5 sub levels per level, but they were sort of stuck with having to make level 20 be the cap, because that's effectively what Dungeons and Dragons does.
Yeah, so the perennial problem that every RPG has.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh dear, we got to be a bit like Dungeons and Dragons.
Level creep, isn't it? Yeah. So yeah, but now the levels go up to about 28 or so, so they're just throwing that out the window anyway, with all the Forgotten Realms stuff as well and all that. I'd never seen any of that. My highest level character I think ever was like 16, 18, something like that, before we burned out previously. We're going through at a fair old rate though, because you get this thing called an elite streak. If the first time you've ever done a dungeon is on elite mode,
yeah,
that then count, that adds one to a counter, and that counter goes up and up, and that starts to build up like a sort of like a no claims bonus type affair. Basically, the more of these elites you do in a row without doing a dungeon for the first time on normal or lower, then the you know, you maintain this massive XP bonus that gets applied when you get your payout of XP at the end. You get XP at the end of an adventure, not for kills in this game as well, which makes it all a bit different. So we've been sort of blasting through, and I've just sort of been, I think the analogy I best came up with was being like dragged along like a crisp packet in a hurricane, you know, just sort of like bounding along behind. I started off as a warrior, you know, stab, stab.
Yeah.
Warriors are really, really boring and underpowered in DDO, I think. Particularly since almost every other character can do as much tanking and DPS as a warrior as well, and also they get spells and things. I'm a much better tank now I picked cleric. I don't know, maybe I'm getting tanking wrong. Tanking in DDO doesn't work the same way either. You get one skill called Intimidate, which has like a 3-minute cooldown or something, and that's your lot. So you tank in DDO by just doing more damage than everyone else, which sort of makes you a kind of DPS tank, which I've just totally missed my spec up on. It's a very theory craft based game as well. You've really got to know what you're doing with your point spending and your builds and stuff, and I don't. So I just picked a kind of cookie cutter healer build and swapped across when our merry band rocketed up past a point where I'd abandoned a previous cleric. So we jumped back across with that cleric, and it's better. I know what I'm doing with that. If the red bar has got black bit in, push the heal button, push the one with the red cross on. And then the main challenge is just keeping up and keeping them in visible sight, because they just tear off. And they're just crazy. I'm just sort of constantly awestruck with the amount of AoE damage. And there's only two of them as well. We're three manning like 6-man group content in elite mode, and I'm just constantly on the verge of hysterical giggling most of the time we're going through this. So we're doing a lot. We're getting up there. We're about, oh god, I think 14 around that kind of area now. So you know, 6 to go, and I'll be able to start seeing new stuff and the Forgotten Realms, because they had a big old U-turn on the setting and everything. They realise no one understands or cares what this Eberron thing is at all.
Nope.
So we better retrofit some Forgotten Realms in there with some like parallel dimension travel type stuff.
I hate the Forgotten Realms.
Well, Forgotten Realms doesn't care what you think. Forgotten Realms is tremendously popular. Yeah, so that's what the kids like. A kind of quite vanilla D&D setting where there aren't too many surprises. So at 20, we'll be able to go across and start doing that. But I'm still enjoying it. I do feel like I'm very much in the supporting cast rather than the star of these adventures, and that's fine. That suits me all right, because I just don't have the time or the skill or the experience to be you know, sort of hyper competent at DDO, and I'm quite happy to just sort of be guided along in a kind of tour, really, which is what it's turning out to be. But that's good. I feel like a part of the team. I'm healing stuff. Sometimes I'm saving people from death, which is good, because
wow,
they do barrel along at a fair old rate and do sometimes overstep the mark quite a bit. Suddenly seeing just whole rooms. And they have a thing, concept called Dungeon Alert. It's when you've aggroed a certain amount of percentage of the monsters in a particular instance, the Dungeon Alert status will go up. It's like a DEFCON thing. And it starts at green sometimes if you're overdoing it. And I've seen it at orange occasionally and a red once or twice.
And if it goes beyond red, it's at Teppo.
Yeah, he did come along and guest star in the team for the occasional week here and there. But I think our rate of progress through there is just leave. It's the old level problem, isn't it? DDO is a game that does not care if you can't play with your friends, and so we're doing our damnedest to try and keep level and stuff. And it doesn't help that the other members of the team are all patrons and have special always on XP bonuses and stuff, and I don't because I'm a pleb who hasn't paid enough gemlets or whatever. Yeah. That's going to drift us apart, and it's going to mean I'm going to have to start putting in some homework time to just try and keep level with the group eventually, which I'm not really looking forward to. I just don't get off on soloing in DDO much at all. It's not a game I enjoy on my own. It's very much a team sport, I think. But I'm enjoying that, and I'm just fascinated to see how far we're going to get. We've covered as much ground in about 2 or 3 months as it took for about a good 6 or 7 or 8 month sojourn previously in static groups, and I don't think the game's gotten particularly easier. I think it's this elite mode stuff and just the rate we're bashing through it all. And it really isn't about discovering and exploring the game this time through. It really has become a kind of professional time trial challenge, which suits me fine. It's you know, good variety of pace. I've written Lord March there, the Lord March Plaza pack for levels 10. Of course, we're doing it at 14 because when you crank it up to elite, it adds another 3 levels onto everything. So you end up doing stuff later than you normally would because you want to do it at the right level and all the rest of it. Complicated numbers involved that I don't still quite understand myself. But yeah, that's quite good. The Lord March Plaza stuff, it's where you have an invasion of monsters from a neighbouring nation, and there's a Medusa on the loose with laser beam petrifying eyes, and that last boss fight in the room with the mirrors and the Medusa, and that was crazy. It was just death beams everywhere and people turning into stone and desperately looking for the widget that you use to unstonify stuff. It's crazy, but enjoyable in a kind of sort of way, you know. I do make that actual noise while playing.
I can imagine. Time. Yeah.
So that's pretty much me. You got anything else to talk about?
No, I don't.
Okay, well, with that, we'll see you next time.
If you like this video.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, do the spiel.
If you let me do this bill. If you like this video, subscribe and like it and all that. And if you haven't gone and looked at the videos, there's a link on our website that leads you to the YouTube channel where there's lots of other videos where we talk about games badly.
Mm.
You, and as much like the video of the background of this is us playing games badly, there's a lot more us playing games badly available on the internet.
Excellent.
And with that, we will see you next
week. Now can they see us next time?
Yeah.
Okay, now we'll see you next time.
Goodbye.
Goodbye.